Blog Talk Radio.
Red Bricktown Radio Podcast, keeping you up to date on the ins, outs, and everything happening in Alexandria, Virginia, with your host, Lee Hernley.
Radio podcast. Tonight we are live broadcasting from the Carlisle neighborhood of Alexandria, Virginia. And tonight we'll be talking about Mayor Ewell's write-in campaign, as well as spend time interviewing City Councilman Tim. We're talking about Mayor Ewell's write-in campaign, as well as spending time interviewing City Councilman Tim Levain, who I sat down with yesterday. He is running for re-election in 2015. We'll also discuss other hot-button issues, and we'll take your calls. Listeners can call in live to the podcast at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. When you call in, I'm going to ask you where you are calling, what's your name and where are you calling from, because our portable studio here has no caller ID. You can also leave questions to me below in the comments on redbricktown.com, where the podcast player is there. All you have to do is just hit play. If you got a question, just hit me up in the comments there. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/redbricktown. You can tweet me at redbricktown or shoot me an email. Go to redbricktown.com and hit the contact me link, or you can email me directly at lee@redbricktown.us. That's Lee, L-E-E, at redbricktown.us. Normally, I have a show ready to go. We were a little waylaid last night by the big fire at Alexandria House last night. I know if you saw us on Facebook and Twitter, we put some video updates on there. Starting this fall, we're trying some new things. So if you go to facebook.com/redbricktown, you can see me there doing a update there. Last night, there was a big electrical panel fire in Alexandria House. The electrical panel was in the basement. I understand from sources that the electrical panel fire was quite substantial. It did knock out power to the 300 block of Alexandria Houses and the 400 block of Madison Street. And it did knock out power from the 300 block of Madison Street down to the waterfront, down to the boathouse that's down there where the T.C. Williams crew does their thing down there. As I stated in previous episodes, we were going to record this, but due to the fire last night, it just didn't happen, and for other reasons as well, because I really wanted to go to police in the park tonight. I believe the Alexandria Police Department is out in the west end of Alexandria, out at Ben Brennan Park. If you go to our website and search police in the park on redbricktown.com, you can find out more about that. They're out there till 7:30. This episode was going to be recorded because I wanted to go to the Oakville Triangle public meeting tonight. So I'm just going to have to catch up on that. Again, if you want to call me this evening during the next hour, you can do so at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. You can also leave, go to redbricktown.com, look for the player, which is right there on the home page. We also put up a new kind of mini player in the sidebar on the right side of the screen, so you should see that there as well, and you can also hit play there as well. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/redbricktown. You can also tweet me at redbricktown or send me an email by going to our website, redbricktown.com, and clicking on the contact me link. Or you can just email me directly. My email address is lee@redbricktown.us. Next week's podcast, I hope to have recorded, because next week there will be a city council debate. Next week, the debates for city council with all 11 candidates start going in full swing. There's a debate at the Departmental Progressive Club, which is located in Old Town, Alexandria. That's on the 14th, I believe. Then on the 17th, there's a debate sponsored by the West End Civic Association. That will be at Ramsey Elementary School, which is on Sanger Avenue out in the West End of Alexandria, with all 11 candidates. That'll be at 7 p.m. Both nights. We hope to have a live blog going for both debates. So if you can't make the debate, I'm sure we'll have the debate highlights for you on the live blog. Next week, we hope to talk to Aisha Kenny, who is a young T.C. Williams teen who is in the battling in the quarterfinals. She's a young girl who is boxing. She's in the fighting in the Olympic trials right now up in Baltimore. I've been very busy during the day, and she's busy during the day, and then she goes and fights at night. Of course, I'm working at night, so it's just been a little difficult getting the both of us together. Hopefully we can get her on for next week. We also are looking at having Nancy Belmont. She's a Delray resident who started up the Courage Wall in Delray. And that's the Courage Wall has been now going around the area. She's got an event coming up, I believe, on the 19th. She wants to communicate with our readers on that. We're also looking at one or maybe two city council candidates to interview. Just like the episode two, I think it was two. We interviewed Republican City Council candidate Monique Miles. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/redbricktown and look for that. You can hear that. She's a very well-spoken young lady. Then last week, we broadcasted live from First Thursday Delray at St. Elmo's Coffee Pub. And on the episode, I don't know why I did this, but I kept calling it St. Elmo's Fire Coffee Pub, but that's not their name. It's St. Elmo's Coffee Pub. We sat outside by the Jim Morrison mural and spoke with Republican City Council candidate Fernando Torres and grilled him on several issues. So then on the 24th, we should be back here live. I'm looking for places to do the broadcast from, as the studio we have is portable. I can basically take the laptop anywhere and do it. We are still on Lo-Fi. I believe it was during episode two that the quote-unquote hi-fi system at Blog Talk Radio kind of crashed. So that's why I'm speaking to you through my phone on the podcast this evening, what they call a low-fi or low-fidelity connection. If you want to call us tonight, you can do so at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. Just a couple things going on this evening. If you're out and about and you can listen to us, the way we've designed this podcast is you can listen to us anywhere. Port City Brewing is having a community give back night benefiting the Alexandria Film Festival. They are having a night of excellent beer. It's going on right now. Delicious barbecue and a great film. 10% of all food and beverage purchases are being donated to the film festival tonight. Port City Brewing is a great community partner. And the funds from this evening will greatly help the all-volunteer organization, the Alexandria Film Festival, and we hope to get them on our podcast. This year, the Alexandria Film Festival, which is a multi-day event, will be held November 6th through 8th at the AMC Hoffman 22 and a few additional locations in Alexandria. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, consider heading out to Port City Brewing, which is at the 3900, I think it's 3950 Wheeler Avenue in Alexandria. Another big thing that happened today, I know if you attended the rally or not, if you did, give us a call. 347-838-8513, 347-838-8513. The local chapter of Moms Demand Action attended a big rally at the Capitol today, the U.S. Capitol today. This is about gun violence. There was a lot of speakers there. You might have seen on Twitter or Facebook the hashtag whatever it takes. And that's what that's all about. It's about gun violence and reducing gun violence in the United States, especially after the shooting death of Allison Parker and Adam Ward by a former colleague. We did post this afternoon Virginia Senator Tim Kaine's eloquent speech when he introduced the Responsible Transfer of Firearms Act today. He was there. I think Mark Warner was there. A lot of folks were at, I think Terry McAuliffe was there. I've seen pictures online. So it was a big, big rally against gun violence in Washington, D.C. Getting closer to home, Moms Demand Action is having they're having an event. I believe it's on the 19th. I'm trying to get more information on the event on the 19th. It's called Be Smart, and it's about gun violence in our community of Alexandria. And you can go to facebook.com/MomsDemandActionVA to learn more about that event. As soon as I have more information on that, we will post it on redbreakdown.com. Let's see. There was an attempted bank robbery today in Alexandria. Thanks to the swift work by our Alexandria Police Department, they were able to capture the attempted bank robber. This afternoon, shortly after the attempted bank robbery occurred. Today is also Throwback Thursday. We did post an interesting story, which probably quite a few longtime residents are aware of. But with the NFL football 2015 season kicking off tonight, there is an interesting NFL-related story involving Alexandria, Virginia. If you're a longtime football fan, you may remember that Alabama star quarterback Joe Namath didn't sign with the NFL when he came out of college in 1965. And instead, he signed with the New York Jets in the American Football League. And they went on to win, I think it was Super Bowl III, I believe. But did you know he actually made his pro debut in Alexandria, Virginia, in the summer of 1965? We posted a terrific post at WETA's local history blog, Boundary Stones. We link to it on our website, redbricktown.com. And the story goes as follows. So, where do you think Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath made his professional football debut? Shea Stadium in New York? Wrong. Fenway Park in Boston? Wrong. DC Stadium in Washington? Nice try, but no. The correct answer is George Washington High School in Alexandria, Virginia, which is now known as George Washington Middle School. Say what? Yes, it's true. On August 7, 1965, Namath and the New York Jets played the Houston Oilers at George Washington in their first preseason game of the 1965 AFL season. Namath had participated in the Jets' rookie game versus the Boston Patriots a few days earlier, but this was his first taste of the quote-unquote varsity. The game was a charity benefit sponsored by Kenya Temple, which you might have seen them in some of the annual parades in Alexandria. You know, they're the guys that have those really small, awesome-looking carts in the various parades, and was wrapped into the city's annual Alexandria Days Summer Festival. As you might imagine, hosting a professional football game was a pretty big deal for Alexandria, or pardon the expression, as Joe Biden would say, it was a pretty big effing deal. Temporary bleachers were brought in, and GW Stadium, which was already pretty big for a high school stadium, was enlarged to seat 25,000 people. Tickets went for $6 and could be purchased at locations around the D.C. area, including the Pentagon, the Willard Hotel, and select businesses. Prior to the game, Houston coach Hugh Bones Taylor, who had been a Redskin during his playing days, was presented with a key to the city, and Oilers players, including future Hall of Famer George Blanda, took part in the parade in a parade down King Street, tossing miniature footballs to kids along the way. At GW, Shriners kept fans entertained with Keenan Clowns, a pep band of Temple members, and a color guard. But clearly Namath, who had just signed the richest contract in pro football history at the time, was the big attraction. As the Alexandria Gazette put it beforehand, the eyes of the sports world would be focused on Alexandria to see just how Joe Namath fares against the play-for-pay boys. So, how did Joe Namath fare in Alexandria? Pretty well, actually, playing only half the game, just like we do now. He split time with another quarterback. Joe Namath led the Jets to 13 points and threw for 110 yards. The performance inspired Gazette reporter Lloyd Groves. That name sounds familiar. I'm going to see if I can find out if it's the same Lloyd Groves that's around now. To write that Namath, no doubt, made believers out of most of the fans who witnessed his pro football baptism. In the end, however, Broadway Joe, or maybe we should call him King Street Joe, wasn't enough to knock off the Oilers, who won the game 21-16. Again, you can find that story. We link to it on redbricktown.com under Throwback Thursday. Speaking of debuting in Alexandria, you may remember that we were the first to report that Mayor Bill Ewell was going to run a write-in campaign in Alexandria. He has been talking about it since the summer, and as promised, by Labor Day, he made up his mind to run as a write-in candidate. In the on the paper ballots we have now, you will need to write in Bill Ewell, William Ewell, or some version of that in order for Mayor Ewell's vote to count. He is running, as we have stated, against Alison Silverberg, and we posted her response to his running, the write-in campaign. And you can find that on our website, redbrigtown.com. But I thought tonight, in case you couldn't make Mayor Ewell's announcement, that I would play the audio from the event. The first person you will hear is Lonnie Rich. There were a couple speakers before this. I think Joyce Woodson spoke. Bill Harris spoke. He's done a lot with seniors. A young T.C. Williams graduate, Luis Cruz, spoke. So I think the mayor is trying to show that he has support from all sectors of the community. Then Lonnie Rich spoke. Lonnie Rich is a prominent Democrat in Alexandria, Virginia, and a Kerry Donnelly supporter, which is big because, according to the mayor and according to Mr. Donnelly, that Mr. Donnelly is endorsing the mayor in this. So let's play the audio from the announcement. Let's see if this will work. It says it was still uploading here. No, it's still doing it. So let's take a moment here and see if we can get it to work. Vice Mayor Silverberg said in response to Mayor Ewell's announcement of a write-in campaign. In an email to supporters, she wrote, was sent out the day of Mayor Ewell's announcement on Sunday, September the 6th. She says, NBC 4 reported this morning, and of course we actually had it first, I think it was that Friday morning before that, that later today, the mayor will be announcing his launch of a write-in campaign. Since my victory in the primary on June 9th, he has been talking about this possibility. He has never conceded the race, this much we all know. We also know that he has stated many times that he lost in the primary due to low voter turnout, as well as due to the number of Republicans who voted for her on June the 9th. Just checking to see if the audio file has uploaded yet. First, it is the mayor's right to run. Although he and Mr. Donnelly and I signed a pledge, and I saw a piece, I think we linked to it in the Times or the Gazette today. They have a big heading out in this week's paper called Alexandria Democrat Committee's Civil War. And if this audio from the mayor's doesn't load, we will read you that file. I'm also still compiling the Tim LaVine interview. So she went on, and the Civil War piece, anything that seems to know anything about the pledge that Ms. Silverberg is talking about. So she says, I signed a pledge that would accept the outcome of the primary and not run from another party. Second, his assertion that there was low voter turnout is contrary to the fact that even the Office of Voter Registration and Elections said they expected far less than the more than 13,000 who voted in the primary. The total was a very good turnout for an off-year primary. Finally, Republicans voted for me, the mayor, and Mr. Donnelly. They did not just vote for any one candidate. They also gave generously to all three campaigns. Those are the facts. Let's check on the mayor's thing here. Making progress. So we'll see if that goes. I'm not sure why it's so slow because the file is not that large. Making me a little angry here. So let's read I can read to you what Lonnie Rich said. He sent us, what he essentially said at the announcement on Sunday. He says, Alexandria is a wonderful city, and you can find it on our website, redbirdtown.com. Just search Lonnie Rich, that's L-O-N-N-I-E, Rich, R-I-C-H. Under the posting, Lonnie Rich urges Alexandria to vote Bill Yule for mayor. This is taking so long. He said, Mr. Rich says, Alexandria is a wonderful city, a city we are all proud to call home. We recently had a Democratic Party primary with Mayor Yule, former Mayor Carrie Donnelly, and Vice Mayor Allison Silverberg seeking the nomination for mayor. For me, it was a choice between the two mayors who have long served our city with distinction. I supported Carrie, and I did too. That's me here on RedbrickTown.com. We supported Carrie as well. I voted for him. Mr. Rich goes on to say, largely because of my experience of having served under him when I was on council, and that was in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. At this point, Carrie Donnelly and I both want to endorse Bill Yule for mayor as a write-in candidate. Now, for sure, Allison won the Democratic primary, and I do not take anything away from her victory. She won fair and square. She is a very good politician. I also think she is sincere and only has the city's best interest at heart. I want to tell you a story. In 1991, I was first elected to city council. I had been extremely active in the community for the previous 15 years. Serving as president of the Delray Civic Association, serving on numerous city boards and commissions, running local campaigns, including Jim Dunning. Jim Dunning was a local Alexandria sheriff when he was first elected sheriff in 1985. I had also served as chair of the Alexandria Democratic Committee. When I got elected, I was ready and full of spit and vinegar. I thought I knew the city and what I was doing. It only took me a couple months to realize that I knew nothing. Zippo. Just downloading the LaVine piece. See if I can get it to play here. But actually, let's see if we can run this. I'm going to try this a different way here. I'm going to run it right through the Here, let's see if I can do this. I play it right off my computer and just hold the microphone up to it.
That's good afternoon. My name is Lonnie Rich.
Here we go.
Alexandria is a wonderful city. A city we are all proud to call home. We recently had a Democratic Party primary with Mayor Bill Yule, former Mayor Kerry Donnelly, and Vice Mayor Allison Silverberg seeking the nomination for mayor. For me, it was a choice between two mayors who have long, distinguished careers. I ended up supporting Kerry largely because I had served under him. At this point, both Kerry Donnelly and I both want to endorse Bill Yule for mayor. Now, for sure, Allison won the Democratic primary. I don't take anything away from her victory. She won fair and square. She's a good politician. I think she's sincere, and I think she only has the city's best interest at heart in what she does. I want to tell you a story. Back in 91, I was first elected to city council. I've been extremely active in the city for the previous 15 years. I'd served as president of one of the large civic associations, Delray. I had served on four or five boards and commissions. I managed political campaigns. I managed Jim Dunning's campaign for sheriff in 1985. Alexander Democratic Committee. When I got elected in 91, I was red. I was full spit and vinegar. I thought I knew the city. I'd been around a long time, and I knew what I wanted to do. It only took me a couple of months, however, to realize that I didn't know anything about anything. Even after 5 or 6 years on council, I was still coming to understand the budget and fiscal policy of the city. I was still learning about the intricacies of various city departments and what was going on in the city. And I was still figuring out how to balance competing interests on a slew of subjects that I'd never even heard of. It takes a long time to be prepared, and preparedness is especially critical for our mayor. One concern about Allison is that she just lacks experience and is not ready. She's only served on council for 2 years and had only minimal community service before that. She's not been involved long enough to understand.
Okay, to save on time. Okay, to save on time, I'm going to move forward. That's basically the gist of it. And you can go on redbricktown.com, search Lonnie Rich, Bill Yule, and you can find it there. Now, let me see if I move forward to Bill's announcement here. That's still Lonnie. Let's see. Had this all planned, but I don't know, this might, my connection is not the greatest right now. So let's see. I think this is about right.
Unless
he talked for several minutes here. I think this is about right. Okay, here is Mayor Yule's announcement.
Regardless of your party, I simply ask that you do what you really believe to be in the best interest of our city. Thank you very much. And now, I would like to introduce Mayor Yule. Teamwork, it's collaboration, it's governance, it's
all about leadership, and it's all about making certain that LGMB continues to move forward. Our increase in parklands over the past 10 years, that may be why you're out here today, in open space. Maybe all the new restaurants and prosperity right here within walking distance that cause you to come out. Traditional music that fills the air just as it did a century ago. It could be the transportation, especially mass transit, actually starting to work for you and using the trolley up and down King Street. Could it be that you like the direction we're heading and want to continue to be one of the most, the LA Denver, one of the most valuable and livable cities in America?
Yes.
I think so.
But you know what?
Yeah, I lost the primary. I tried. I really did. I truly tried to put a new life before me, take on a new job from offers that were out there to work for someone else. I traveled a bit. I thought a lot. And every time I returned home, bam, people were running up to me, stopping me on the metro station, escalators, YMCA while I'm stretching out, like I did my stretches and everything. People were running to me in the grocery stores. I just did a ribbon cutting the other day for the new Giant on Jeff Davis Highway there in Potomac Yard. And people were saying, are you running? Are you running? I said, look, I'm still listening. And I had young people, kids even, come up to me the night of, after election. I had someone that really said something to me that brought me to tears. Former Mayor Kerry Donnelly and I had had conversation, and he's encouraged me to consider write-in. Countless folks like you I've been hearing from. We had friends who voted for me, who many who said that, and many who didn't vote for me, that said that I need to do this write-in campaign. This city is worth fighting for. I was born and raised here, and I will not go quietly into the night. Not in the state. And the life problems of the people that are most at stake. Therefore, I will be taking a temporary leave of absence from the ADC. And yes, I'm in. Writing my name in, it's that they spell it somewhat right. You're going to see a lot of Yule, E-U-I-L-L-E, all over the place. The bigger challenge is getting people to turn out at all. About 1 in 10 voters came out in the primary. And if history is any clue, only 2 in 10 will vote in the general election on November 3rd. Our job is to prove that there's too much at stake for you to stay home on election day this year. This is another reason I'm running a write-in campaign. A summer primary just doesn't seem to be the best time for most families to be involved in political decisions. With so few voting in June, and so many people, of the people I know and respect challenging me to do a write-in, I believe in exercising my democratic option of conducting a write-in campaign. You are so, so worth it. I have given everything I've got to the city to the point of its promise right now, and I will not stand by and watch it all go downhill so fast for someone who wants to slow us down. Someone I've watched on the city council as she talks of moves that will slow the cash flow into our city and add more of the burden on each and every taxpayer. Someone whose view of public policy just to say no. We are positive, hopeful people, and I will not watch a tide of naysayers take over without fighting for the positive attitude that pervades Alexandria now.
Okay, that was Mayor Bill Yule's announcement from Sunday, September 6th, Labor Day weekend. Now, due to time constraints, since we've had some connection issues tonight with the portable studio, I move to Senate, Councilman Tim Levine, who has served on the Alexandria City, who served on the Alexandria City Council from 2006 to 2009, and returned to City Council in January 2013. He is the Vice Chair of the Transportation Planning Board of the National Capital Region and Chair of its Human Services Transportation Coordination Task Force and Access for All Committee. Whew. Man, try saying that five times fast. Tim also serves on the Alexandria Transportation Commission and as an alternate on the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission and the Virginia Railway Express Board of Directors. Now, I spoke to him yesterday, and here's how our conversation went.
Good evening, folks. As I stated, we're sitting here with Councilman Tim Levain, who is running for another term in office. Mr. Lane, thank you very much for joining us. First off, let's get some rapid-fire questions, kind of, so our readers and listeners can get to know you. How long have you served on City Council?
Five and a half years.
And what is your current job in real life?
In real life, I'm Executive Vice President of Capital Strategies. It's a government relations firm where my clients are all public sector transportation clients, state DOT, ports, major transit systems, and so forth.
And did you grow up in Alexandria?
No, I did not. I've been here since 1983.
And what schools did you attend?
I went to the University of Chicago for undergraduate. I did graduate work at Princeton in politics, and I went to law school at the University of Washington in Seattle.
And what was the first job you ever had?
It was probably pulling corn out of beans on a farm in Iowa. I worked on the farm and did some other work too, but a lot of it was just pulling corn out of beans.
And what would your ideal job be? I'm not sure city council is an ideal job.
Well, I like being involved in public policy, so I enjoy that a lot, both my city council job and my lobbying work. But I guess if I wanted to shift gears, I would love to just to be a writer.
And what apps do you like the most?
Oh, I don't do a lot of apps, but ESPN, that's for sure, a couple others, but I'm kind of slow on the technology side.
Okay, two more rapid fire questions here. What is your top bucket list item?
Well, for me, I just love to travel, and I really enjoy traveling all around the world. But still haven't made it to China or to Greece and other places. So I think it's to check off a few more places like that I've always wanted to visit.
And finally, what is one fact that most people might not know about you? Last week, Republican candidate Fernando Torres told us that he likes to dance a lot, go out dancing.
Well, I think a lot of people are not realize that I'm served 3 years as active duty on the Coast Guard, including at that time as a deck watch officer and a high endurance cutter in the North Atlantic. That's a little different.
Oh, well, good for you. Thank you for your service. Well, let's get into some more meteor questions, because as our readers know, we want our readers to be a more informed voter and hear the answers provided by the candidates for themselves for city council before our readers decide who they should support in November at the polls. So tell us about yourself. Why is it a good idea for us to vote for you again for city council?
Well, I think I'm proud of my service and what I've done, and I'd like to continue those efforts. I try to be a real champion for kids in Alexandria. I've got three of my own. All of them attend ACPS, and so I've worked very hard to get adequate funding for the schools and some extra money for playing fields and making it safer for kids to walk to schools. I'm also a transportation expert, if you will. For 30 years, I've been working in the area of transportation. So I chair several transportation coalitions, and so I'd like to use that expertise. I think I have already, but I'd like to do it even more if I'm reelected. For example, if I'm reelected, I'll be the new chair of the Transportation Planning Board for the National Capital Region, succeeding Phil Mendelson, the chair of the D.C. Council. And I really have some high hopes for what I can accomplish in that position. On trying to get funding for high priority projects in the region, to really put some teeth behind the plans to focus development around the metro stations, and also to improve incident response on our highways. I know these issues, and I would love to use that position to accomplish some good things for the region.
In your time on City Council, is there a vote that you're most proud of?
Boy, that's a good question. I can't think I can pick out one, and that's the Potomac Yard Metro Station, because I think that's going to be just so important to the city, to help us really create a walkable neighborhood right around the metro station, and then to have that great transit service through the Metroway and other modes of transportation to get people there, to really create the kind of walkable, livable neighborhood that is just ideal, I think. And that metro, that Potomac Yard Metro Station will help us do that.
Now, on the flip side, is there a vote of your city council or yours that you regret?
Well, I can't think of any votes that I regret, but I have talked some about the BRAC facility in the West End and how I wish that we had been more, had more public discussions about what was going on with that, so that there was been a greater public understanding of how hard we pushed for Victory Center for that site, and how we just got rolled by the Defense Department. So I think there was a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people who think we voted for this BRAC building, God forbid, we didn't. But you know, because so much of it was done as a real estate matter in the executive session, we weren't able to really bring the public into the decision and as much as we could. And so I wish, looking back, that we had changed the process somewhat there. But like I said, there was no vote in that case, so there wasn't any vote that I regret there. I can't think of any particular vote that I would take back at this point.
No problem. As you have been going door to door, have you found that there is an issue that resonates with voters, maybe something City Council hasn't thought of yet?
You know, I haven't heard any one thing. I mean, at other times when I ran, sometimes it would be taxes, 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 and other times it's been anxiety about the pace of development, for example. But, you know, I think it's more of a mix this time. It really depends. People with kids in the schools care about the schools. People who are close to an area of redevelopment are very, very interested in that. You know, there's sort of, I think, some anxiety about traffic and parking and cut-through traffic and a lot of those sort of getting around quality of life issues. But there's no one thing, I don't think, that really stands out this year.
And you're big on schools, and as a Lyles Crouch parent, I know I certainly appreciate that, and I know a lot of other readers and residents in the city appreciate that. So here's a question on schools. Do you support schools being closed until after Labor Day?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of a traditionalist on that. I think that's appropriate to wait until after Labor Day. You know, if we're going to have to add any days to the school year, I think it should be in June. And then, but I think I like that tradition of getting schools out well and before the 4th of July, and then not coming back until after Labor Day. In particular, because so many Alexandrians follow the federal the congressional calendar. Not only those who work for Congress, but the people who lobby the Congress, and a lot of the executive agencies who deal with Congress in August, you take off. That's your downtime. And so if they start school in the middle of August, it really cuts into the available vacation time for family, a lot of families.
Another question on schools. As readers know, the Alexandria City Public Schools, as well, standards of learning tests results came back, and they were a significant improvement. However, they still lag behind many of the neighboring jurisdictions. What are your personal thoughts on the standards of learning test results for Alexandria City Public Schools?
I think it was just very gratifying to see those improvements, and I think it shows that we're really on the positive track. You know, on a lot of the scores, we're going to be a little behind some of our neighboring jurisdictions because we have more poverty in Alexandria. We have public housing. We've made a commitment in the city to provide 1,100 units of public housing, a longstanding commitment, which I support. A lot of great kids come out of the public housing, like our mayor and our chief of police. But it's also true that in public housing, you get a kind of a concentration of some negative behaviors and problems, and those kids have obstacles that they have to overcome. It's a challenge. And so because of that, and also because of the number of international students we have, the special challenges that our school system has that are greater than Arlington and Fairfax do, and that's, I think, why our score is going to be a little lower. It's not a, and I think our schools do an excellent job of overcoming a lot of those challenges that these kids bring with them.
Now, the Republicans have been bringing up the fact that the city of Alexandria has out of balance tax rates, 70%. It falls 70% onto the residents, 30% onto business. How would you facilitate getting Alexandria back to 50-50 split and attract more business to Alexandria?
I think we're doing a pretty good job of that lately by bringing National Science Foundation headquarters and the TSA headquarters to Alexandria, and especially because of the contractor tail, I think that's going to follow those agencies. And in the case of NSF, the hotels that will come along. So I think we're going to be seeing that those numbers improve. But it's what we have in this whole region is that everybody wants commercial investment. It's not like it's sitting there waiting and nobody wants it. And we're not going after it. We're going hard after it, and we're offering tax abatements and tax breaks to get it. But, you know, the demand for commercial office space is shrinking as companies learn to get along with less space and telework and digitalization. So it's hard. It's a tough competition, but I think we're doing pretty good in that competition lately, and I think we'll see those percentages improve over time.
And how do you see the relationship between Alexandria's economy and growth management?
Oh, yeah, I'm a strong believer in transit-oriented development and walkable neighborhoods around our metro stations and other transit centers. That is the way to go, because you can then channel development into those locations and actually get less traffic. That's what's happened in Arlington, in the Orange Line Corridor, and many other locations. That's the way to go, I think, is to focus that development around activity centers. And that's the plans of the Council of Governments for the region. That's the plan of the Regional Transportation Priorities Plan. It talks about it. So we really just need to implement that. You know, and then currently, 85% of the Class 1 and commercial office space under construction is within 1/4 mile of a metro station. So a lot of developers and businesses understand this, and I really think that's a strong believer on that, and that kind of smart growth, and I want to do whatever I can to advance it.
Yeah, you've chatted about smart growth. Do you feel there is waste in the city's budget, that places that have maybe grown too much?
Waste in the city's budget and some things that.
I might bring that just off the top of my head. I can think of, like, say, planning department, which has grown exponentially over the rate of inflation. Things like that.
I think the planning staff has grown because of all of the development issues that have arisen, and a lot of them complicated issues, and that needs a lot of attention. So I'm not concerned about the growth in the planning staff. The one area that I've spoken up about that I just want to raise questions, but I've gotten a little hot water, is to try to look at the police and fire and to ask if we really need as the crime goes down and the fires go down, whether we could look at some economies. But I know that's controversial, but I feel like it's my duty to at least ask some of those questions and look into those issues.
Okay, and finally, we're going to get into some hot button issues. One of the most popular things on our website recently has been Mayor Ewell's write-in campaign. What are your thoughts on Mayor Ewell's write-in campaign?
Well, the mayor and I go way back. I've managed his campaigns and endorsed him for mayor, so I was disappointed in the primary results. But I endorsed Allison Silverberg for mayor because she's a fellow Democratic nominee. On the other hand, I think that Bill Ewell has every right to run a write-in campaign, and I didn't write the rules. That's within the rules, and it'll be an interesting issue. It's tough to win a write-in campaign, though, as has been proven time and again. It's a tall order.
And another hot button issue, which has been read very widely on our website, is the issue of Confederate symbols in the city. As a resident, I know last night's vote
was I applaud you guys for last night's vote on the Confederate flags. Confederate flags are one thing, but the city has, the council is looking to appoint a commission or a committee to look at possibly renaming streets of Alexandria. When people come to Alexandria and they go to, say, a street like Mosby Street or Bragg Street, or just the two off the top of my head, do people really think Confederate heritage?
I don't think so. I think the one that really sticks in my craw is Jefferson Davis Highway, and I think that I'd like to see us change that. But I think you're right that for the most part, people don't associate these other names. And the cost and hassle of changing them would also be pretty burdensome. To me, the important one is Jefferson Davis Highway, and other than that, I would be reluctant to. I'd be interested in what the committee feels that we've look into this, what they think, but I'd be inclined to be careful about doing too much.
And if the city moves forward with renaming the streets, I mean, how costly would that be to the average resident? Because you have to go to get your name changed, and the city has to change records, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars the cost just to the city, and then the time and the hassle for the residents as well. So it would be burdensome. I'll give you another reason why we should change Jefferson Davis Highway, because I live on Davis Avenue, and I'm sick and tired of people who are confusing the two. I'm just kidding, because I got a sleepy little street there, and nobody thinks Jack Taylor or Toyota is on my street. But anyway.
All right, last hop in. This has to do with the Confederate symbols. If and it's been very popular on our website, redbricktown.com, that if the city council does, and if the committee brings forward a recommendation to change the Confederate symbols, shouldn't the city council consider renaming T.C. Williams? T.C. Williams was the superintendent of schools in the 50s and 60s and vehemently opposed desegregation in the Alexandria public school system. So if we're going to change the city's street names, shouldn't we consider changing things like T.C. Williams High School?
That's right. Keep going on and on. I've just heard that there are people saying that we should change Taney Avenue because Chief Justice Taney wrote the Dred Scott decision. You know, so it could go. This could go on and on. And you know, it's sad that we have this slavery in our history and segregation in our history, but. But to really try to purge any mention of anyone associated with slavery or segregation, you know, it's a tall order. So I think sometimes these names have taken on a life of their own, and I don't think people think about who T.C. Williams was much anymore. And he was superintendent for 30 years, something like that. So I can see why that at the time it seemed like a good idea to name it after him. But I would be reluctant to do too much in the way of changes.
Well, Mr. Levine, thank you very much. And where can people go to find out more about your campaign?
You go to our website, www.timlevine.com, or you can email me at timlevine@gmail.com, and be happy to answer any questions people might have.
And that was City Councilman Tim Levine. Thank you, Mr. Levine, for spending time with us and with our readers and listeners. That's timlevine.com. Well, tonight, sorry about the missing audio, but hopefully we got around that okay. You were able to hear that pretty well. Tonight, you heard the intro and outro music from intromachine.com, and we thank you guys for being with us. Next week will be recorded on the 17th. We've got a lot of great guests next week as well.
Join the discussion and subscribe to our daily updates on our website, redbricktown.com. Until next time. Come on.